Well, good morning. Did you enjoy July? Going, gone. It seemed like, is this summer going fast? It's pedal to the metal here. We're racing into August almost, okay? All right. So, we're going to look at Joshua's farewell address here in a minute. Any prayer requests? Or okay, it's going to take a while. All right, Margie?
I just keep Mark in prayers. He's the gentleman that did my porch. He was in a serious accident. He's actually home. And I got a text last night that he's supposedly coming to my house tomorrow to finish the last thing. And I went, you almost died. Stay home and rest. So, yeah, I think he's sending someone else, but...
Well, what about his... Didn't you say something about his eye?
He was working on someone else's porch or something and fell and hit his eye. They were very concerned about a brain bleed. He's had two surgeries, and he's recovering and he's home. So, yeah, it was real serious...
Okay, was that your too?
Yes, that was mine.
Okay, no, that's fine. I mean, that's we shouldn't be that. Okay, we pray, we get an answer, and we're surprised. We shouldn't be. I mean, that's we. Lord answers prayer. No, you have. You only get one.
Keep my son's mother-in-law. She is still in the hospital. They did a hernia repair on her, which is a 4-hour surgery. And now, once she gets better from that, then they have to do a gallbladder surgery and deal with her pancreas. So she's not out of the woods yet. And she's very depressed.
Remember they put a zipper in, so we just go back and get something else.
Well, at first she wasn't even going to let them do the surgery. So they convinced her to do that.
Okay. So, wow. What's her name again?
Pat.
Okay. Okay. Mark?
Yeah, please pray for my renter, Jake. Still showing receptiveness, but he's been working enormous hours, so opportunity hasn't been there. But I'm going to send him Spurgeon. He's glad to receive him. The other, Antonio, even though he showed great receptiveness in the beginning, he's not been just responding. So,
okay.
I don't know. And also, please pray for Bob Grushek. Been having a great deal of struggle with depression, and even in studying his word, he just still can't seem to shake it. But he puts in like 70 hours a week. It's just ridiculous hours, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. And also, Cheryl, whom I talked to, said that, you know, basically reading more of the scriptures, she's finding better days. So, praises to the Lord that, you know, she's sensing some change for the better.
Okay. All right, Mike?
Yeah, continue to pray for my friend Mary Ellen. I talked to her actually this morning, and she said this is the best she's felt over the last 2 years. And she says, well, keep praying for me, and she says, God is working, and She's still teaching, so that's great. Also, pray for Ron Johnson, the whole note for that bill that's coming up. And same-sex marriage. Because he came on television saying that he was going to probably vote for it.
I'm not up on that one, but there's so many things going on. It's hard to need a scorecard. Okay. All right. Yeah, Michelle? Yeah, you need a success story once in a while. Okay. Anyone else here? Okay. Keep praying for Karen Norcross. Her foot's swollen, but it's her leg's starting to swell now. So... okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to bring these requests to you. Pray that your will might be accomplished in each one of these people's lives and circumstances they're facing. We thank you for the way that you heard and answered prayer for this Mark that's worked for Margie, and pray that she might have the opportunity to talk to him about the Lord, find out where he's at spiritually. Do pray for Pat too, that you'll continue to strengthen her body and mind, help her to get over being depressed about all the physical problems and what she's facing or things that they can fix. And we just pray for her encouragement as well as the doctor's skill to perform the surgery that still needs to be done. We pray for Jake that he might continue to be receptive to Scripture and time talking with Mark, and that Antonio might show more interest in spiritual truths as well. Pray you'll continue to give strength to Bob Pruschak and help him with his depression, whether it's just overabundance of work that's wearing him down. That can happen to any of us. We just pray that he'd be looking to you for the help he needs. Pray you'll continue to encourage Cheryl as she deals with the loss of her son, and that she might find help and hope through your word. For Mary Ellen, we pray that you'll continue to give strength there for her, and give doctors that are working with her with this MS that she continue to be able to teach, and that you'd slow down that process of MS. Pray for wisdom on Ron Johnson's part and other senators as they vote on this same-sex marriage bill. Don't know the details there, but we pray that he would take a biblical stand on this, along with others, that it might be defeated. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you've intervened for Michelle's dad and helped him have a good recovery from the sinus surgery, and it doesn't always turn out that way, and we're thankful that his is a success. We ask that you guide us in our study now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're kind of, well, we're on lesson number 12. We've got one more to go. And then we're going to be going into some new material, but we won't get to that for a little bit. But just as a way of a commercial.
Zealous for the Truth. We're going to be looking at a couple of the smaller books. 2 Peter, 2 and 3 John, and Jude will be covering through that series of lessons.
And we also have
going to be coming up on a new series for Wednesday night. Everybody kind of ran out at once. And the pilot sounds good. I think you'll find the study good. We have done this many, many years ago, and but stress-free living, doesn't that sound good? And it doesn't come in a bottle, you know. It's not a pill you swallow. It's looking at Philippians. So,
all right. Okay, so we look in here at Joshua's farewell address. And we're looking at chapter 23. Joshua realizes he's getting towards the end of his life. The old body's wearing out, but he's still sharp mentally and spiritually. He's concerned about the future of the nation, the tribes. And so he wants to have a little sit down with them, you know. And so he gathers together the leaders from the various tribes and wants to talk to them. They're willing to listen, okay? And he shares some encouraging words there in Joshua chapter 23. And he talks, and this isn't... This isn't Joshua patting himself on the back, you know. We see some of this as we proceed on into Elijah, but patting himself on the back, saying, "What a good boy am I! Boy, I did a really good job! I." We've had presidents that like to use that word, but here we see he's promoting the Lord. He's reminding them, and we constantly need to be reminded of how good God has been to us. But he does talk. He mentions the fact that he spent the 40 years out in the wilderness. He wasn't surrounded by a bunch of spiritual giants. They were kind of midgets spiritually. A lot of them weren't, well, because the majority of them didn't want to go in and possess the land. That kind of gives you a little idea as to where they're at spiritually. They're not willing to trust the Lord to give them that victory. And so they wander around and die. And that could have rubbed off on him with a just kind of a oh-hum spiritual life. Don't care all that much. But that was not Joshua. He stayed faithful to the Lord, and that's why the Lord used him, you know, as kind of Moses' replacement or taken over from him. And so he's been with these folks for a long, long time and been a spiritual leader for them. He's not the priest, but he's providing a good example for them. And now he wants their attention. And he's got some good advice for them. And we begin to look at this. It says there in Joshua 23:1, "And it came to pass after a long time, after the Lord had given rest unto Israel." So they've been in the land for a period of time. They divided up the tribes, and things are kind of settling down. "From all the enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." So if anybody asks you now, instead of, you know, we have... able to sit up, take nourishment, able to stand upright. Now we can say, "I'm waxed old and stricken age." But we're still going, right? Verse 2, it says, "And Joshua called for all Israel, for the elders, for the heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that fought for you." So he's giving God the credit for it. God brought them into the land, and okay, so they're coming out of Egypt. They flunked the first test. They decide they're not going to trust the Lord to go in and possess the land. They wander around. The greater majority of them die off in those 40 years. There's a lot of humps in the sand out there where they're buried. And their kids grow up, and they're getting ready to go in and possess the land. So have they all been through 6 weeks of boot camp and paratrooper training and all the rest of this. No, they're but yet God enables them to have victory and to carve up this land that belonged to somebody else up to this point, and divide it up into these 12 tribes, so they all have each tribe has an inheritance. So they've got land, and nobody's going to be able to take that away from them. Okay, at least for not for a while. And then it goes on to talk about God's present work. Okay, it's not just something God took care of them in the past, but you're kind of on your own now. No, God's taking care of us in the past. He's helping us out now, and He plans to keep on helping us all the way through eternity. I mean, that's a long time commitment here. Okay, you know, I mean, marriage until death us do part. You know, well, dying isn't going to get God out of responsibility. No, he's that was the short side with this life. He's going to care for us on throughout eternity. Well, there's still work to do. They haven't run all of the Canaanites out of the land. There's still some out there. But if they're not taken out or run off, whose fault is it? Is it God's fault? No. Okay, God was there for them. He was there to help them 24/7. But they had to take the initiative to drive out the Canaanites. Okay, God said, you're going to win, but yet you still have to go out. I'm not just going to wipe them out overnight. You have to participate. And then he reminds them of some of the good things that God has done for them. Well, he says there that, you know, God's done these things for you. He's given you this nation. Verse 4, he's divided them into the tribes. Verse 5, that the Lord will expel them before you and drive them out of your sight. And you're going to possess the land. Okay, that was God's promise. I'm going to do this for you. But again, they had to be participants. And then in verse 6, it sounds like something we heard at the very beginning of Joshua. As the Lord's talking to him, now he's sharing these same words with the people, or the leaders of the tribes. There in verse 6, be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside thereof to the right hand or to the left. Okay? Stay on that straight and narrow. Stay on the right path. And be courageous. Keep looking at the book. God keeps drawing them back. You're talking about the book of Moses. That's what they had at that time. What was one of the or some of the reasons why God might want them to keep looking at the book? Okay, to keep the law, he wanted them to be obedient to it. All right, he'd given them directions on how to live. What else? Okay. Yeah. I'm sure. Well. Yeah.
We follow the law because if we don't follow the law, it's like the people of Canaan, the way how they live, their immorality, and they run away from God, then they're going to be led astray.
Yeah, we have to keep reminding ourselves what God says. We can't go by what the world's saying. Well, it's like this bill. How many years ago would we have never thought that there'd be a bill that was going to make it legal for, you know, same-sex marriages and adopting kids and everything? I pray for those kids. Imagine how messed up they're going to be. But anyway, they were surrounded by bad influence, okay? And they had to keep looking at the book to remind themselves of who God is, what God's done, what He says He's going to do, what we need to do, lest their eyes start roaming around and looking at the other gods like that are out there and end up following after those false gods, which we see happens to them when we're looking at Elijah. You know, they're checking out Baal, following after Baal. And it was easy for them to kind of have a longing look at the Canaanite gods. What was appealing to the Canaanite gods? What was their Canaanite god supposed to do for them?
Make the land more fertile.
Yeah. Got great crops. If you got great crops, it must be the Canaanites' gods that's doing it. I think I'm like, huh? How about giving your God the credit for doing it? Well, but they're looking at them and they're listening to the line that's being spilled towards them. Oh yeah, our God makes it rain and crops grow. We got wonderful crops. Was there anything else beside crops? They didn't have quite the list of things not to do for the Canaanites. You know, it doesn't say that here, but I'm thinking that they would go along with the motto, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, kind of thing. Okay? Just go out and have a good time. All right? And it doesn't really go into detail here, but talks about the different things that they were kind of allowed to do. The sexuality was a part of all this and so on. And so it sounded kind of good, you know. You could still go out and get drunk on Saturday night as long as you come in and said, I'm sorry, on Sunday morning or whatever. And they were convinced, again, the Canaanites were convinced that it was their God that was giving them the prosperity. But God's he tells them, be careful. You get too close to this, you're going to get burnt. Okay? Look at verse 7. He says, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you. He's talking about the Canaanites. Neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them or bow yourselves to them. Okay? Don't get involved in their religion. But verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done this day. All right? God's wanting to keep them in close. Okay? And because there was a lure out there to get them to follow after. And what was one of the main ways that people would fall away from the Lord and follow after these gods?
Marriage.
Marriage, yeah. They're marrying into the Canaanites, whether it's the men or the women. And they follow after their husband or wife's gods. Think anybody else got tripped up with that? Yeah, and he was supposed to be what? Wisest man that ever lived, other than Jesus, okay? Wasn't real smart, though, was it? Okay? But he got drawn away, okay? Come on, it won't hurt, just once. Listen, they're having a good time down here. Why don't you come and join us? And pretty soon he's hooked into it, and he's got all these foreign wives with foreign gods, and he's trying to make them all happy, and he drifts away from the Lord. And this is why God wanted him out of the land, because he knew it was going to trip him up. Okay? Look at verse 9. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he is it that fighteth for you as he hath promised. And so he's saying, Lord's been there for you. You need to be strong. He's helped you to fight, win battles. You know, and so you need to stay true to the Lord, because these guys are going to mesh up. You get involved in it. Okay, it's kind of like parents who, you know, you're warning your kids, pay attention to who you end up having for friends and running around with. You know, you're not going to lift all of them up. They're going to more than likely drag you down. He says, verse 11, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Notice, else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, okay, following after the Canaanites, even remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to know you. Okay, so you get involved with them and you marry them. Who are they marrying? Who are the Canaanites? I know, other than people that lived in the land. In relation to God? Were they God's supporters? No, they were his enemies. And you're fraternizing with the enemy. How's that going to work? You know? Not a good thing. It's going to drag you down. It's going to drag the nation down. And, you know, your kids are already at a disadvantage. Some of you probably grown up in homes where, you know, dad's got one, we'll say, religion, and mom's got another, and kids are kind of caught between the two. And you don't know what's right, what's wrong, who's telling you the truth, and so on. And that's going to happen here, too. And then the kids, they've already had mom and dad, one or the other, marrying into the Canaanites, so it must be okay. Then they go out and do the same, and you see how it goes. He says there in verse 13, there's consequences. You go out and marry these unsaved people, these people who follow after false gods. Verse 13, for know a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God had given you. Okay. That's a pretty bleak outlook, isn't it? You know, if you're doing this, you know, lying down the page, here's the advantages of marrying the Canaanites. Here's the disadvantages. Have we seen any advantages yet? No? Now, I don't know if the Canaanite ladies were real lookers and that was the attraction here or what was happening. But there was an attraction there somehow or another. Or it's the forbidden fruit and whatever. But he says, you do this, you know, I'm telling, and God's good. He's telling them ahead of time. You know, what's going to happen if you do this? These are the consequences. You know, sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. Okay? not to make everything political, but it just popped in my head. January 6th in Washington, D.C. Now, do you think if these people that have been in jail since then knew that was going to happen to them ahead of time, do you think they'd have went on in anyway and looked around? No, not in your life. They had no idea what was going to happen. You know, if somebody's saying, come on in, you know, they're okay, we're getting in free. We can go in and look around. Yeah, well, God's telling them ahead of time, if you follow after the Canaanite gods, you intermarry with them, he says, and he says, there's going to be traps and snares. What is it about traps and snares?
They look good.
Yeah, it's something that looks good.
Once you're in it, you can't get out.
Yeah, you're trapped. Maybe I shouldn't say this, so some of you will not like me afterwards. We have a lot of ground squirrels around our place. Some of you know what? Bad. And they're eating up the flowers, you know, or just tearing them up, you know, dump them out. So I think we're going to relocate a few of these. And I've read online how to make this trap. Well, apparently I didn't make it good enough because they've got all the peanut butter licked off and they haven't fallen in the bucket yet. But the can's supposed to spin, and apparently it's not, or else they're able to balance. But it's a trap. It's something that looks good, smells good. You know, I mean, it's like a fishing lure. You're trying to make it look good so that fish will want to bite on it, you know? And it may smell bad if it's, I don't know, to even use that ball of stuff anymore and put it on a hook, throw it in. And maybe that was for catfish or something. But, it's a trap. And it may look innocent enough. Oh, they're just my friends at school, you know. And you end up running with them, and it says bad things are going to happen. Wow. Scourges in your side, okay. It's bad enough when your brothers and sisters are giving you the elbow in the sides, but this is sharp stuff, okay. And thorns in your eyes. Can you think anything worse than that? I mean, some people here have to go to the doctor and get shots in their eyes. And I just kind of, No. You can't even close your eyes for this one. You're going to see it coming, you know. But anyway, thorns in your eyes. And this isn't literal thorns, but it's going to be painful, whatever happens here, until you perish off this good land. You're going to lose your title deed to the land. Okay? That's what they fought for, was this piece of property. And they're going to lose it. Did that ever happen? It did. They followed into this idol worship. They didn't follow after God's law, letting the Sabbath years and so on to let the land lay idle. And God took them out. Babylon came in, rounded them up, hauled them off to Babylon. The northern tribes hauled off to Assyria. Okay? And some of them made it back, but not all of them. And so, God, these are not idle threats. Now, whether they, what do you think? This is what God said. Can we believe? Is God going to follow through with this? Or is he like sometimes his parents? You do that one more time, and you know, and they've already heard it 30 times and nothing ever happens. And that, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors. Nothing's going to happen. You know, no, God follows through. Now, it isn't instantaneous. It isn't you do this today, the hammer's going to fall tomorrow. Okay? Sometimes it's years in between before it catches up. But God didn't waste a lot of energy and words just to be, you know, threatening people, trying to keep them in line with idle threats. No, he follows through with it. And he told them ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. Okay? And Then he begins to talk about what's going to happen to himself here. Verse 14, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Okay? He's going to die. All right? I don't know if he failed his last physical or what happened, but he knows he's not got long left. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God has spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. So he's saying, everything God's promised you has come to pass. I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know, can we say that? Every promise that we've ever made to anybody, we followed through with. Now, you say, well, some of it was out of my control. I got sick, you know, and this and that happened and couldn't do this. And, yeah, okay, yeah, life happens. But God doesn't, he's not got to go back to the cupboard to find, where's that list of excuses they use on me? You know, I'm going to use it on them. No, it says, God doesn't make idle promises either. He just promises certain things, and you can count on it, all right? What are we counting on now? Pardon? Salvation? Blessed hope? Yeah, out of here. Okay. I'm still hoping for that one. I don't want to go the way of all the earth. I want to bypass that one. Okay. Yeah, you know, and the God's in control. You know, we need to keep reminding ourselves that. Because sometimes you look out there, or you listen, or you look at the latest news, and it doesn't sound like God's in control. Okay? And yet He is. And the thing is, you know, in 2020, hindsight, a wonderful thing. You look back and you go, oh, yeah. Now I see how that all fits together. Okay? Well, one of these days, maybe it's after the rapture, we'll be able to look back over our life and, you know, some of these potholes that we look like, you know, why in the world am I having to go through this mess? And, you know, it's all going to kind of come together, you know. Like, you've seen that or heard that illustration of the tapestry, you know, and one side looks beautiful, and you turn it over, and it's all full of strings and knots and everything. And we're kind of looking at the strings and knots, and it's like, yuck, you know? And yet God's looking at taking the long view, you know? You know, we're looking at what's going to happen tomorrow and next week and next month and so on, and God's saying, 2022, let's look on to 2050. Well, he's got the long, and again, he's doing what's ultimately best, not just for Joshua, or for the priest, or for different leaders along the way. He's looking at what's best for the whole nation. Okay, so God's made these awesome promises, and we get excited about that, right? Well, look at verse 15. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things come upon you, which the Lord your God promised, so shall the Lord bring upon you all the evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of your God which he hath commanded, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourself to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. Okay? So just as sure as God's promises, the good stuff, so also God's is just as adamant that when he says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen, that's going to happen. All right? You know? And he tells them ahead of time, you intermarry with these folks, you follow after their gods, you bow down to these, you're going to stir up my anger, and it's going to be kindled against you, and you're liable to going to get drop kicked out of this country, all right? And that happened. Like for a good many years, thousands of years, you know, Israel's not been in the land. All right, for the most part, you know, they're got to come back now. Again, we see here no idle threats. Those are promises too, and God will fulfill those just like He does the good stuff. And so we need to keep that in mind. You know, we're not going to pull one over on God thinking, oh, well, he's going to look the other way. You know, we've sung Jesus loves me for so long that we can't ever imagine that God might discipline us. You know, just like your parents, they love me. They will never discipline me. Anybody grow up without some discipline along the way? Yeah, well, most of us probably didn't, all right? And at the same time, again, 2020 hindsight, you look back and you think, I probably didn't get half of what I should have got. And it wasn't the promises of the bike or something either. It was the spankings that I should have got. And they just, and maybe they did know and didn't respond. I don't know. But anyway, God's good. And, you know, just the fact that he demonstrates love and grace. He tells us ahead of time, you know, if you choose to follow after these things, this is what's going to happen. Okay? And, you know, maybe that's something that as adults, you know, if you still got children at home, you use that, you know. Okay, you know, here we can't make a lot of promises, but this is what we're going to try to do. But if you choose to go a different route, you know, this is most likely what's going to happen. Okay? And, I don't know if that was Maureen that told me that. Sometimes I don't remember where I get this stuff or something I read. Wasn't it you that they took you to a reform school? Didn't you? A girls? Yeah, they took the youth group to see some of these kids that were in reform school. And one of the girls, you know, was crying, saying, I wish somebody that was in there, saying, I wish somebody had done that for me so you could see where you don't want to end up, you know. All right. And the thing is, like now, they get their hands slapped. Nothing happens to them. There's no consequences. Well, that might change here one of these days. I don't know. If it doesn't, we're all in trouble. But, okay, let's back up just a little bit. We've got a couple minutes here. And this kind of overlaps into the morning service with Elijah too, but because they were bowing down to Baal there, it doesn't give us all the names of the different gods that they might have had in the Canaanites. What's idol worship?
A waste of time.
A waste of time. There you go. That's saying like it is. Okay. Right. Yeah. It you know, sometimes we get the idea, you know, through the different missionary stories or ones that we've read or pictures we've seen, and we're thinking of some guy bowing down in front of this little piece of wood that he's carved out, you know, and he's out in the bushes somewhere, you know. But or, you know, this, Old Blue, we're going to turn you into an idol. You know, I'm going to put some chop suey out here in front of you or whatever, and that's supposed to, you know, make you happy, and or maybe it's a raw steak. I don't know. And, you know, and I'm going to trust that that's going to give me good luck. How many people out there believe in luck?
A lot of people.
You're going to go for an operation. What do they say? Good luck. Man, I don't want good. I don't want good luck. I want a good doctor who knows what he's doing. You know, that's not in a hurry to get out there on that golf course. Go slow. Do it right. You know, finish the job. Anything. And for us today, you know. And there's no way I don't have enough fingers to name them all, but, you know, power, prestige, wealth, you know, possessions, you know, all these different things can become our gods, you know. Now, I haven't seen it lately. I don't know, maybe they got better. Everybody's using the lawn service now, so they're not out there. But I remember years ago, I'd come on Sunday morning, and invariably there'd be one or two people out in their yards, you know, sitting down in the grass, you know, digging out the dandelions, you know, and no thought of getting ready to go to church, but, you know, we're going to have an awesome looking lawn, you know, or whatever else it is, you know, that's kind of, they're worshiping this thing. And, you know, all kinds of things. And, they're not necessarily bad. It's not evil to go out and dig up dandelions, you know. We have not seen it here, or at least I've not noticed it this year, but there have been in years past. You come out of church and this field down in front of us is full of little kids. They're practicing soccer or whatever, you know, soccer game, soccer practice. Nothing wrong with soccer. But, you know, I also have known people that quit going to church because their kids were involved in soccer and they had to have the soccer games on Sunday, and so they couldn't bother to go to church anymore. And just all kinds of different things. And it's just a snare. It's a trap. Satan's going to make it look good. It's for a good reason and so on. And just as long as he can get God kind of shoved off, you know, later. We give God whatever's left over from our week. If we didn't get all our work done up till Sunday, well, we'll do it on Sunday and whatever. So, yeah, we have to be careful because we can get caught up in the same thing because we can throw rocks at these guys all day long. Oh, they bowing down to a false god. And we can turn around and do the same thing if we're not careful ourselves, right? Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Joshua's life. We thank you that he remained a good, strong leader for the people. And yet they were going to be without him pretty soon. And they had to make right choices on their own. Each leader of the different tribes, but all the way down to each individual family and person. And what God were they going to follow? What God were they going to worship? Were they going to believe, be thankful for all the good things that God had given them, and then turn and worship some false god because he's going to give us better crops? Or that God said, stay away from the Canaanite people, don't intermarry with them, but they're so cute, you know, whatever. And then we find ourselves trapped in a snare and pulled away from the Lord. We just pray that we might be going through life with our eyes and ears open. We keep looking at the book, lest we get drawn away by some of these things that may look like fun and exciting and that will ultimately drag us down. And we'll thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.